Good evening, everybody. Parashat Bo. We are now again with the 10 plagues. And Parashat Bo, what we see, where is Shmot? Where is Shmot? Shmot Bo. ויאמר השם אל משה בוא אל פרעה. And God told Moses, come to Pharaoh. And on the beginning, this is a very interesting phrase, because when you tell somebody, you send somebody somewhere, he says, go to. He says, Yankale, go to Shimon. You don't say, Yankale, come to Shimon. Come is come to me. If I send somebody somewhere else, it says, go. And here the Torah is telling us, ויאמר השם אל משה, come.
Come to Pharaoh.
Come to Pharaoh.
Well, that's not what's written. That's what you will see in translation. But here's written, come to Pharaoh.
Both in Pharaoh. I used to have a principle when he would say, gush.
Yeah, you can say gush.
He would say, gush.
You can say gush, approach.
I say gush, yeah, gee, yes. Gush. No, he was, gush ladele.
Yes, gush, that's like high Hebrew, gush.
Yes, Yitzchak.
Lech ladele.
Yeah, gash is Hebrew?
Yes, gash. Lageshet.
Lageshet.
Okay. So, as we see in the translation, the bo here has got a special meaning. And what is the meaning? The meaning is like, you know, this kid doesn't want to go to school. When his mother wakes up in the morning, he turns to the other side, doesn't want to go to school. But the point is that till a month ago, he loved going to school. So, father comes to him and says, well, what's wrong? Well, why don't you want to go to school? The thing is that 2 months ago, they changed the place they were living. They moved to a different town. So the kid tells him, the school that I used to learn, everybody loved me, I was popular, and the teacher loved me. And here, when I come here, they hate me, they start with me, and even the teacher don't help. And sometimes they even also are, let's say, not exactly going against those children that go and talk to me not nicely. And so his father says, so what's the problem? Come, let's go together. I'll go and talk to them. And that's exactly what the Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling Moses. He's telling Moses,
come,
we'll go together. Now, why is he saying it? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is afraid. And it's very strange. You know, we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. This guy, till now, we understand that God tells him something, but he does. He's not afraid from nobody. He kills this Egyptian. He runs. He does what is the right thing to do. Doesn't matter what are the consequences. So what is going on here?
There's already 8 makot already.
The thing is that we're not talking here about he's afraid of a physical thing. He's afraid from a spiritual point of view. Because akol bidei shamayim, chutz mi'irat shamayim. The fear of God is something that is in our choice. We choose to fear God or not. We choose to do good or to do bad. All the other things are in the hands of God. So he says, okay, you're sending me to Pharaoh. But this Pharaoh is the king of impurity. This is the king of Tuma. And if there is, let's say, the worst place to be for somebody who wants to go in the right way, this is the place. So he says, I can deal with his servants, I can deal with all the things around him, but to deal with him, I am afraid this is going to have a bad influence on me. In other words, he's not afraid from the physical point of view. He's afraid, and we all have to learn here a big lesson. You know, sometimes you can have a lot of strong. This is Moshe Rabbeinu we're talking about. And even he is afraid from getting near to this guy, which is the symbol of impurity.
But I understand if this would happen in the first plague, the second, in the seventh, now he begin to, but now he realizes he's talking with the evil?
Good question.
No, there is an answer, but I want to make sure that before I answer this thing, I'm right with what I'm saying. So I wanted to check something. it's from the beginning. It's always in the second. You see, all the plagues are, there are three sets.
Yeah.
Three, and the Makat Bchorot is the one that got us out of Egypt.
This
and
is as the we beginning said, of the last.
Now, every time, there's an order here. Every time, the first one of the set is always when Pharaoh is going out to the river in the morning. Why is he going to the river? Because he says, I'm God. But he's not a god. And every human being has to go to toilet. So he cannot go in toilet in front of his people. So he gets up very early in the morning and goes to the river, to the Yaor. And who is he meeting on the way? Moshe Rabbeinu. Now you can imagine to yourself this feeling. He wants to go to the toilet and this guy disturbs him. And it's all of this is like a way to humiliate Pharaoh, to show him that he's not a god. And this is every time. You see that the first of every set is he meets Pharaoh on his way to the Yaor. The second one is always Bo El Paro. He goes to the palace. And this is also, you have to understand, it's not a simple thing. You imagine to yourself, you know, going to Pharaoh to his palace where he sits. He is surrounded with guards. You know, it's not like here when you go to a high-tech company or even you cannot just go in. You have a guard, and you need to have somebody to take you in, and they check who you are. If I go to a military camp, it's even worse. You have to give to that zeroot. They have to check who you are, and then they don't let you go where you want. Now imagine, this is Pharaoh. This is the king of the most powerful
nation of the world
in the ancient world. Till now, people don't realize what they knew. And this is the guy that got all the power of the world. And Moshe Rabbeinu is just going in and meeting him inside his palace, maybe even in his own room. Which is also an unbelievable thing. So to understand, realize that Moshe Rabbeinu is not just another guy. And to understand is to think, to imagine to yourself that you see somebody tall. He's got, you see the power from his face. No, Moshe Rabbeinu eventually got to the level that he was shining. Yeah. Now this guy is on the way to do this now, and now when this guy comes and you look at him, you fear him. You say this guy has got a lot of power, like the spiritual power comes out of him. And you see, you have people like this. You see that they have this
emanation.
Aura
around them, you know, you feel it, you know.
Eyes.
Yes, you see, it's something special. Now, so this is what the way Moshe Rabbeinu looks. So all the beast and the animal and the lion and the whatever, that when they saw Moshe Rabbeinu coming, they just were like puppies. And all those big guards with all the weapons, they couldn't move when they saw him. So what is this Moshe Rabbeinu afraid of?
No.
As I said.
But the point is, he grew up in the palace, right? No? Everybody knows him, no?
So if everybody knows, they let him go in and tell Pharaoh that I'm going to hit you. I'm going to send the plague on you. I'm sure that Pharaoh wanted from the first minute he met him to kill him. He couldn't. You see, this is Pharaoh we're talking about. This guy's got power. He dies like this and they take your head off. Why is he not doing it to Moshe Rabbeinu?
Why?
Because this guy is not coming to telling a night story before he goes to sleep. He threatens him. And the threats, by the way, are happening. And he's come again and again. And he does nothing. Why? Because he can't do anything about it. Because when you see Moshe Rabbeinu in front of you, you are paralyzed. Because this guy has got a lot of power. His spiritual power comes out. But when we're talking about spiritual thing, when you meet this tumah, you're afraid. So in our parasha, we learn this idea. Bob was before also. Because Moshe Rabbeinu said, I've got no problem outside with surrounded with the servant, but to meet him in his palace, It's like this is the this king of all the dirt of the world. Now, mixing with this guy is dangerous. So God tells him, don't worry. Come with me. Now, what is the lesson here? The lesson here is that sometimes in life, also like this kid, we wake up in the morning and we've got no cheshek to do anything. We're depressed. We don't want to do what we don't want to start the day for a lot of reasons. And in those difficult times, we must remember what God is telling Moshe Rabbeinu here. When we wake up in the morning and say, "Modeh ani refanecha, melech chai v'kayam, she'achzart bi nishmati b'chemla rabba emunatecha," it means that God is with us. God gave us the neshama back for another day. And God is telling us, come with me. I'm with you. I'm your father. I am the Almighty. You don't have to worry from anything. Now, if we get to this level of emuna, nothing is going to disturb us. So when Moshe Rabbeinu goes in, not the animals, and not the servants, and not the soldiers, nobody can stand against Moshe Rabbeinu. Because he's got this confidence. He feels God with him. This is a very high level of emunah. And the lesson for us is, we are also the children of God. And God is with us. All the time. So we don't have to worry about nothing. How do you say the Breslov says, "En yeush ba'olam klal." No. If you believe in God, you know that everything he's doing is good. It's for you. It's your father. So what are you afraid for? And sometimes you have to read this when you have difficult times in order to remember and to put it inside. And that's the whole idea of the 10 plagues. To convince us and to make our umuna better. Yes. We go through life, we have a problem here, problem there, and we think that this world is a real world. Yeah, God put us here, and we think that this is the world. But this is only a temporary world. And we have to remember it all the time. It's like, you know, you have those high-tech firms. They have work conditions which are unbelievable.
My nephew works for them.
They have
Google.
Everything. All the day you can have, you can eat whatever you want, cakes, coffee, juice, well, dinner, unbelievable, lunch, whatever you want, you've got there. Every corner, a coffee machine, and you have a gym, and you have a playground, you have everything. And it looks like somebody goes around and says, "Wow, this is a beautiful world." So imagine to yourself somebody is going around and it's only eating and playing and going and works. What do you think is going to happen?
Fire him.
So one day we'll get a lesson. Okay, the project is finished. Oh, you are not useful. So bye-bye. Go away. So he comes out with what does he come out with? With a small box with his own belongings. And this is this world. God gives us everything. And it's no problem. He wants you to enjoy it, but don't forget that those are work conditions. So in other words, you have to work. You cannot just lie around and take those things and do nothing. God is going to fire you.
If he fire you, you don't take even the small box.
No, you take a small of your mitzvahs. Those are your mitzvahs. That's what you have to remember always. If you go out, they tell you, that's it. No more gym, no more cakes, no more milk and honey. You're going to stand in front of God. Okay, where do you want to go? What, that's what you're coming here? With this small box? Nothing in it? So we have to make sure that we use the work condition in the right way. And we can ask for the best conditions. Better than the high-tech company. No problem. As long as we understand that those are tools for us to work for God, to worship God, to get closer to God. If we understand this, oh, we're on the right way. And we don't have to be afraid of anything because God is with us and He helps us. But we have to realize what we're doing here. And this is the thing of emunah. Because if you've got the emunah, you understand that everything you've got is for you to do the good in the eyes of God. But if you haven't got emunah, you start believing in nonsense, in all the things around you, then you have a problem. You know, I'm writing Shabbos. After the Second World War, a lot of people lost their families. And there used to be a lot of weddings. Like a man who lost his family, his wife and children, and a woman that lost her family, the husband and the children. A lot of stories like this. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to rebuild and build a new home. And there were a lot of weddings going on, but those weddings were not exactly very happy. No. Because the shadow of the Holocaust was there. And in one of those weddings, a group of friends decided they wanted to make it happier. You know, it's a wedding. So they coming in the middle of the wedding with this big, huge box on a wagon because you couldn't carry it. And everybody's looking. This is a present for the bride and groom. And before they open it, they tell a story, a funny story for everybody to laugh. And then they open the box, and in the box they find another box. And another story, another joke, and people are starting to get happy. And really, everybody is, you see the smiles on the faces. And they open another box, and another box, and another, and at the end they find this small box and with a small thing in it. Gets up this rabbi and says, you know, here we've got a big lesson. Now people come with big boxes. When we come in front of God, God is going to open the box and going to look inside. What have you got there? Another box and another box. And then what would God find? This small thing. This is a big lesson. And the same thing to build a Jewish home, it's not how it looks from the outside. It's what's inside. To be in this world is, what box are we going to get out of this world? A big box with nothing in it? Or a small box with a lot in it? Or maybe a big box with a lot in it, which is even better. And this is something we have to understand in real. That's why we sit on the Seder night and talk about Yetziat Mitzrayim. To realize what is our job in this life. So the Chafetz Chaim, we are very privileged. Chafetz Chaim says, it's written here that God is going to bring us to the land of milk and honey, the good land. Says the Chafetz Chaim, that Eretz Yisrael and the Torah are like the body and the soul. The body is Eretz Yisrael, and the soul is the Torah. And where do you put it? In Am Yisrael. And we are privileged. We are here in Eretz Yisrael. And this is our job. Because here also we have to do Yetziat Mitzrayim. Because Yetziat Mitzrayim means getting out of all those things that surround us around. And we think that they are real. And sometimes we miss the point. And the point is very simple. We want to worship God. You know, it brings to a very interesting thing. But before this, I want to, again, make sure that we understand that the plagues are built in a certain way. That is also a big lesson. As we said, three sets. Twice warning, the third one with no warning. In all the three sets, you will see it. It's like the same thing, same idea. The first one of every set, it's outside. The second one is in the palace. And the third one is with no warning. That's it. No meeting between Pharaoh and Moses. And all those plagues are in order to teach us that God is the one, the only one, and is nothing else. Which is the very important lesson. So when we read this and we understand it, then we can go on. Then we can do one of the most important things is we see, by the way, when we're talking about the last plague before Am Yisrael getting out of Egypt, is the darkness. And now, it's very interesting that the darkness is divided to two parts. One part is like they sell a normal darkness, and the other one was a darkness that you can feel it. In other words, if somebody was standing, he couldn't see it. If somebody was sitting, he couldn't get up. It was darkness, like real thickness of darkness in that you couldn't move. And Rashi says that the whole idea was because there were those of Am Yisrael that didn't want to go out. And because of this, God killed them in those 3 days. And while they were burying them, so the Egyptians wouldn't see that also the Jews are being killed, he did the darkness, and then they could bury them with honor, and nobody knew what exactly is happening. Now, this is a tough thing, you know. They see 8 plagues. They see God's actions with their own eyes, and they still want to stay in Egypt. And you have to understand everything. Kol Tzivot Mitzrayim, all the army of God got out of Egypt. What's all the army of God? You could say the army of God. What is all? Everybody who wanted to get out of Egypt, even if he wasn't a tzaddik, even if he was still a little idol worshiper, and we see it later on. When they go out on the sea, and the angel of Egypt asks, why do you kill the Egyptian? Why do you drown them and you save them? Both of them are idol worshippers, which is unbelievable. But so see how God acts. He tells you, you just tell me you want to go, you are already a part of the army of God. It's like in the army, you have soldiers that have a job like this, and you have soldiers with that. You have good soldiers, better children. You have also, what we can say, those jobnikim that do nothing in the army. But they're all a part of the army. So God is telling you, the only thing I want you is to want to get out of Egypt. Even if you're not a tzaddik, I don't need only the tzaddikim. And still, 80% stay in Egypt. Because you have to understand, a lot of people say, you show me miracles, I be a believer. Why? Here, look at that. All those miracles in front of their eyes.
Today is the same thing.
Of course the same thing. Yeah. But that's why we learn it. It's not a history book. The Torah is not a history book. The Torah is a lesson for us, as we said. And we have to understand. Even Moshe Rabbeinu is afraid of bad influence, of this idol worshipper Pharaoh, who makes himself God. So who we are? Who are we? We have to learn, understand. So how do you make your Emunah great? How do you become a big believer in God? Learning and understand what God is. That's the 10 plagues. And it's still not easy. Because we are still in this world. And as we said, the only combination that can save us is the Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Am Yisrael together. If you want to go in the right direction. So first of all, you have to go out of Egypt. You need to want to get out of Egypt. And God will take you. And you even be considered as Tzivot Hashem. But the most interesting thing here is that before they go out of Egypt, suddenly God asks them to bring us the Korban Pesach. What's going on here? And there's something very strange when we read about the Korban Pesach. You will see in a minute. start. Perek.
Perek Yudbet.
Yes, Perek Yudbet. Vayomer, that's by the way the first mitzvah that Am Yisrael is being ordered to do when they become a nation. And this is Achodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodashim, Rishon Hu Lachem, Chodshei Hashana. Which is also a big lesson by itself.
Rosh Chodesh.
God gives us the power to decide what we're going to do with our life. Achodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodashim. A new counting is starting. Not from Rosh Hashanah, but from Pesach. Because a nation was born, and from this day on, we start a new counting. And we decide how we're going to live our life.
It's not a new year, it's just a new...
That's a new year, according... There are two beginning of a year. Rosh Hashanah and Pesach. Rosh Hashanah is Yom Adin, the new beginning of, let's say, the world, if we want to say it this way. This is the new beginning of Am Yisrael. That's, let's say, Yom Ha'atzmaut. Mm-hmm. And at that day, they are being ordered. They say the Beit Din decides when the month starts. And even if they're mistaken, and they decided that that's the Rosh Chodesh, it is Rosh Chodesh. In other words, Shabbos, you cannot decide that's Shabbos or that's Shabbos. Shabbos is Shabbos. You cannot change it. But the month, you can change. The human being can change. So we have what is decided from God, and we have what's decided from us. And the most important thing is to understand that at the end of the day, God really wants us to decide and do the right thing. So he gives us the power. From till now, you were ruled, controlled by the Egyptian. From now, you are your own masters. You are starting a new period, and that's your beginning, a new beginning. And when you do this new beginning, there is something else you have to do to understand and realize what it's all about. And he then tells them about Korban Pesach. And look how it's being written. Pasuk Bet. Dabru El Kol Adat Netuk to the all congregation of Israel.
That's Gimel.
Gimel, okay.
Talk to all the people of Israel. Tell them, at the 10th of the month of this month, you will take a lamb. Ish se lebet avot se lebayit. Ve'im im at habayit miyot mise. And if it's going to be too big on the house, and the household is too small to eat this whole lamb, so what do you do? Ve'lakach et Who ushcheno akorov, your neighbor that is close to your home, b'michsat nefashot ish lefi ochlot achosu alase. Now, if we go on reading, you will see something very interesting. There is a word that we hear it again and again and again in different phrases, and this word is bite.
Bite.
Bite. Yeah,
imimata bite. Imimata bite. Se ishu beito. And then on and on and on and on. Let's go to the end of this episode with age in. And in between you have a lot of mentioning of the house, the bite.
Yeah.
You can read it, you will see a lot of times is mentioned the house. And then we get to
interesting way.
To Pasuk
Yudbet.
Perek Yudbet. Pasuk.
I will pass in the night.
No. Pasuk. No? I'm going further.
Further?
Yes, what's Pasuk? I cannot see what it is.
So it's not Yudbet.
It's very small for God. It is.
Take this one, Gadi. This is bigger. Yo have to change your glasses.
Yeah.
I did it.
They say.